Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.
In the wake of the Mueller investigation into Russian collusion that didn't exist, Democrats are calling for the nation to heal before some of them get arrested. In a statement made from an undisclosed location, a guy in a mask who looked suspiciously similar to Congressman Adam Schiff said, quote, "We must put this national nightmare behind us or I am in big, big trouble," unquote. Former FBI Director James Comey, whose higher calling to pristine integrity caused him to illegally leak information in order to start an investigation that would translate his personal bitterness into a low revenge for being fired as he so richly deserved, now says he was just kidding and everyone should forget the whole thing. Comey said, quote, "Come on, it was obviously a joke. How could anyone have ever believed that a major presidential candidate could conspire with Russia while the entire intelligence establishment suspected nothing? It doesn't make any sense. America needs to recover its sense of humor before I get put in prison for an illegal attempt to overturn an election," unquote. Former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, in a statement released to the floor of the ladies' room at Nellie's Sports Bar, said, quote, "All across this great nation, whether in the dynamic, optimistic, educated blue states or in the stupid, ugly, toothless, bigoted, hate-filled, deplorable red states who voted against me, it's time for people to join hands and lay their differences aside, or I could seriously end up in prison. If for 1 minute people were to think sensibly about the Obama operatives who investigated Trump due to my phony Oppo research while letting me off the hook for obvious malfeasance, it would not be good for America. If by America, I mean myself, and I usually do," unquote. Members of the media, meanwhile, are calling for an official day of healing during which they will all get together and forgive themselves for constantly lying to the rest of the nation before they return to constantly lying to the rest of the nation. Trigger warning, I'm Andrew Klavan, and this is The Andrew Klavan Show.
I feel hunky-dunky, life is tickety-boo. Birds are winging, also singing, hunky-dunky-dee-doo. Ship-shape, dipsy-topsy, the world is zippity-zing. It's a wonderful day, hurrah, hooray, it makes me want to sing. Oh, hurrah, hooray.
Well, with the Mueller report finished and no further indictments of the Trump or his administration, the press is covered in the filth of their own bias, corruption and dishonesty for all the world to see, or all the world except for the press, because they're so covered in bias, corruption and dishonesty. They're like the fish who doesn't know he's wet. If by fish you mean lowlife, and by wet you mean disgraced by a history of lies and misinformation. But as always, it's not so much what the press does wrong as what it doesn't do at all that's the problem. Democrats and the media, but I repeat myself, are now calling for the nation to move on and heal from the Russian non-collusion scandal. But the problem is, we haven't even begun to cover the real scandal, which is how the nation's media, the supposed guardian of the people, allowed the Obama administration to become so corrupt it was filled with dirty guys like James Comey, James Clapper, John Brennan, and oh yeah, Hillary Clinton, who started the fake Russian collusion story rolling. These bad guys who organized an attempt to overturn an election, who was it who appointed them to run things? Who made Clinton Secretary of State, Brennan head of the CIA, Clapper National Intelligence Director, and Comey head of the FBI? Who was it who felt so free to turn our federal government into a Chicago-style Democrat machine because he knew no matter what he did, the press would not call him out, as they didn't call him out for his open corruption of the Department of Justice, his open misuse of the State Department, and his open protection of corruption at state. For 8 years, the media closed its eyes to the corrupt administration of Barack Obama. It was scandal-free, remember? And in the immortal words of that America-hating bigot, Jeremiah Wright, whose hate-filled rants were Obama's church sermons for 20 years, the chickens have come home to roost. All right, let us talk about your hair. You know, I always feel like I was born too late. Like I'm going to be the last guy to die. Like everybody's going to be in Times Square celebrating the death is over. Where's Klavan? It was too late. Same thing with your hair. You know, if I had been born a little later, I could have used some of the incredible stuff they have, which keeps your hair on your head where it belongs instead of where I keep it in a jar on my desk where I look at it longingly. Now, 2 out of 3 guys will experience hair loss by the time they're 35, but that's why there's Keeps. With Keeps, the FDA-approved products that used to cost so much are finally inexpensive and easy to get. For 5 minutes now and starting for just $10 per month, you'll never have to worry about hair loss again. Go on Keeps, and a licensed physician will review your information online and recommend the right treatment for you. Then the treatment is shipped right to your door every 3 months. Keeps is only $10 to $35 a month. And to receive your first month of treatment for free, go to keeps.com/Klavan. That's KEEPS.com/Klavan. That's a free month of treatment at keeps.com/Klavan. Keeps. Hair today, hair tomorrow, as they say. And of course, you just call them up and say, that bald guy sent me, I can't remember how to spell his name, but it's K-L-A-V-A-N. And remember also, tomorrow is the mailbag. You want to be there because I will answer all your questions about anything you want, about your religion, about politics, about your personal life. All my answers guaranteed 100% correct. They will change your life for the better. Wait and see. Go on to dailywire.com, hit the podcast button. First, you got to subscribe. It's lousy $10 a month, $100 for the year. If you subscribe, you can ask me anything you want. Hit the podcast button, hit the Andrew Klavan podcast, hit that little picture of the mailbag, and just type in your questions, and they shall be answered. So the Trumpire is striking back, right? The Trumpire strikes back. They are responding to this 2-year witch hunt. It's finally over, and now the doors are open, and they can respond to everybody and do the stuff. You know, not just negative stuff by attacking the people who attacked them, but they can also do the positive stuff that they've been hampered doing. Here is Trump's reaction yesterday. He was meeting with Netanyahu from Israel, and he was asked about the end of this collusion scandal.
It's lasted a long time. We're glad it's over. It's 100% the way it should have been. I wish it could have gone a lot sooner, a lot quicker. There are a lot of people out there that have done some very, very evil things, very bad things. I would say treasonous things against our country. And hopefully that people that have done such harm to our country, we've gone through a period of really bad things happening. Those people will certainly be looked at. I've been looking at them for a long time, and I'm saying, why haven't they been looked at? They lied to Congress. Many of them, you know who they are. They've done so many evil things. I will tell you, I love this country. I love this country as much as I can love anything. My family, my country, my God. But what they did, it was a false narrative. It was a terrible thing. We can never let this happen to another president again.
So NBC calls this vindictive. Here's the New York Times, a former newspaper. This is their front page story. This is not a knucklehead row, their op-ed page. This is their front page story. President Trump and his Republican allies went on the offensive on Monday, vowing to pursue and even punish those responsible for the Russia investigation now that the special counsel has wrapped up without implicating him or his campaign in a criminal conspiracy. Mr. Trump, grim-faced and simmering with anger. He didn't look so grim-faced to me. He looked like Trump. He always looks like that. He didn't seem to be simmering with anger. Denounced adversaries who have pounded him for 2 years over Russian election interference, calling them treasonous people who were guilty of evil deeds. This approach, if it lasts, says the New York Times, a former newspaper, contrasts with those of other presidents who survived major scandals. You got to listen to the way these guys write. They are so skeevy. Listen to this. This contrasts with the way other presidents survived major scandals. After the Iran-Contra affair, President Ronald Reagan happily dropped the subject and focused on arms control talks with the Soviet Union. After being acquitted at his Senate impeachment trial, President Bill Clinton was just as eager to move on to Social Security and other initiatives. Can you spot the difference? Can you spot the difference? I mean, Ronald Reagan, the laws that Ronald Reagan's administration actually broke in the Iran-Contra scandal were bad laws, and I don't care that he broke them. But still, he did do something. The press was right to call it out and expose it, and the people made their decision. Bill Clinton was actually and did actually do the things he was accused of doing, and he survived the scandal. Donald Trump hasn't survived any scandal. There is no scandal because they haven't covered the real scandal. The scandal is an Obama administration that was packed with these guys who felt free to act in this way that they did. And remember, you know, in the text messages between Strzok and Page, the lovers, at one point, I think it was Page, said, President Obama wants to be kept apprised of everything we're doing. Now, that seemed to refer to the Hillary Clinton email investigation, but we don't know. We do know that a lot of this investigation was started under Obama's watch. And if you don't think he was paying attention, you don't think he knew about it, I don't think you know Obama. This was a corrupt administration. And let's just go back. Yesterday, we played a montage from Grabian of all the times the press convicted Trump in the news over these 2 years. Here is another montage from Media Research Council and the Newsbusters guys, just to remind us of what this was like for the last 2 years.
Does the public understand just how much trouble the president is in?
To believe that the president isn't compromised requires such a leap of faith.
I think we have all the proof we need of a scandal that's arguably worse than Watergate.
Do we know if there is still this belief and aspect right. That the president is working for the Russians? I can't answer that.
The U.S. president possibly working for the Russians, possibly an unwitting pawn.
Now here's what the president said when asked if he was a secret Russian agent.
The president did not directly answer the question.
Why not just say no if that's the answer?
There is tons of proof of potential collusion.
We have dramatic evidence of collusion.
How is it not collusion? How is all of that not collusion?
The collusion piece of this, piece by piece, starting to be built out.
A political hurricane is out there at sea for him. We'll call it Hurricane Vladimir, if you will.
Donald Trump knows. The noose is tightening.
The noose is tightening.
The noose is tightening, if you will.
The noose is tightening around the president.
The noose is tightening.
And I think they're shocked that the noose is tightening.
And you saw Brian Stelter in there virtually convicting the president of the United States and now out there saying, no, we didn't do anything wrong. Speculation has its value. Yesterday he tweeted, oh, you know, if you want to rest from all this Russia talk, why don't you tune into something else? And I tweeted back, I don't want to rest from it. I'm happy to watch you be humiliated. But we also, lest we forget, it's not just the news media. It's the entire communication industry, which includes showbiz and includes the academy. Here's a montage also, I believe, from Newsbusters of just all the time that Hollywood, there's a bunch of these montages around, but this is one of just all the times Hollywood just praised Robert Mueller and how he was going to take down this president. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it was that this guy was going to take down the president.
Oh, thank you, Robert Mueller, and everyone working to make sure that we have sovereignty for the United States of America.
I'm indicting him for rigging an election in a conspiracy that still is underway.
More evidence do we need? Donald Trump in a t-shirt saying, I colluded with the Russians and all I got was this lousy t-shirt and the presidency?
Mr. President, you have the right to remain silent.
Pardon me?
I said you.
Well, I'm not talking to you. I tried to pardon myself.
Mother, all I want for Christmas is you.
Today, after your show, I'm going to get a Bob Mueller tattoo.
Oh, that's exciting.
Because I love him.
Where are you going to put it? Have you thought about where you're going to put it?
Right over my heart.
I never thought I'd be so turned on by a man who always looks like he has mumps.
In fact, you actually have a Robert Mueller devotional candle.
Yes, I do.
This is like an entire industry, but it's the communication industry, which we know in this day of the internet, in this day of a constant 24/7 news, constant 24/7 entertainment, constant streaming, surrounds us like a cloud and creates an emotional context in which we all exist, all of us exist, and which constrains the way we think and feel about what's happening around us. And all of them did this, and all of them did it for Obama. They did it against Trump, and they did it for Obama, so that for 8 years, Obama operated virtually untouchably while he genuinely turned the federal government into a kind of toward a kind of corruption, not money corruption. I don't think he was profiting off it, but a power corruption that just was invisible, emotionally invisible to most of the country. I will get back to this because there is one person importantly talking about this. But first, let us talk about Bull and Branch. As you know, some of you like to sleep. I don't know what that's about. Not me. I'm awake all night. I need to be comfortable. Bull and Branch sheets are not just comfortable. They're also good looking. So if I'm sitting there reading, I can look and say, nice sheets. but they're also comfortable for those of you who want to sleep. In fact, great sleep starts with the right sheets, and the Bull and Branch makes those sheets more affordable. What makes them unique is each sheet is crafted from 100% organic cotton. That means Boll & Branch sheets not only feel incredible, they look amazing. And since Boll & Branch sells exclusively online, you don't pay that expensive retail markup. You get twice the quality for half the price. Try these sheets for 30 nights. You'll love them. If you don't, return them. You will get a full refund. Go to BollandBranch.com today and you'll get $50 off your first set of sheets plus free shipping in the U.S. when you use the promo code Klavan. That's $50 off plus free U.S. shipping right now at BollandBranch.com. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com, promo code Klavan. BollandBranch.com, promo code Klavan. I'm spelling bowl, but I know what you're asking. You're asking, how do you spell Klavan? It's K-L-A-V-A-N, no E's in Klavan. I just make it look this easy. I really do. Lindsey Graham 2.0. says he's, there's a great James Comey, who I think is almost like he's nuts, you know? He is completely unaware of what he looks like, but he sends out tweets on the day of the end of the Mueller investigation. He sends out tweets of him walking among the redwoods, looking up at the sky, and the tweet says, so many questions. And Lindsey Graham tweets back at him, I agree. We'll see you soon. So this is Lindsey Graham saying it's time to investigate how this thing happened in the first place.
The double standard here has been striking and quite frankly disappointing. I am 100% convinced that if the Republican Party had hired Mr. Steele to go to Russia and investigate Clinton, and the report was prepared and given to the Department of Justice, used to get a warrant against a Clinton associate, and the underlying information in the dossier proved to be garbage, everybody in the world would have it on the front page. It would be endless chatter on the cable networks. I'm also convinced if the agents involved in investigating Clinton, if the shoe were on the other foot, hated her and wanted Trump to win, we'd be having a thorough discussion.
And this is the thing, you know, we pick on Republicans a lot, and maybe they deserve it, but they are operating in this atmosphere. It's not just the information coming out. It's not what just people saying. It's an entire fog of unknowing that these guys create. They create it through show business, which they own. They create it through the news business, which they own. They create it in the academies, so they pollute our children's mind and take them away from the traditions that made their lives as great as they are. And they obscure all that. And this is the emotional atmosphere in which we all behave, you know, like it's just like, you know, I often talk about the fact that George Washington couldn't understand for much of his life that his slaves wanted to be free just as much as he did. He couldn't understand that because he lived in this emotional fog of the ideas that are around us. And even Washington, one of the greatest men who ever lived, couldn't see what was right in front of his eyes. And neither can we often. And I think Obama understood this. He understood that he could do whatever he wanted. He understood when he put in Clapper, when he put in Comey, when he put in John Brennan, when he put in these guys who were not to be trusted, who thought that they owned power, that the power belonged to them, that they were the elites, that they were in the right, that they were on the right side of history. They thought, you know, they couldn't be touched. And they were right, because the press wouldn't touch them, and the show business surrounded them with this aura of untouchability, of righteousness and invulnerability. And now the Trump campaign, hilariously, they sent out a letter to TV producers saying that at the end of this investigation, this comes after 2 years of Democrat leaders and others lying to the American people by vigorously and repeatedly claiming there was evidence of collusion. They made many of these false claims without evidence on your airwaves. The list of guests who made outlandish false claims includes, but is not limited to, and then they went after Senator Richard Blumenthal, and they quote him, the evidence is pretty clear that there was collusion. Representative Adam Schiff, I think there's plenty of evidence of collusion. And they tell us, this was on CBS this morning, Gerald Nadler, Aaron Burnett, you know, this is Tom Perez. They just list all of them. And they get to John Brennan. And this is something else, because John Brennan, you know, he was really among the worst. And this is a guy who voted for a communist for president in 1976, it was. This is like the height of the Cold War. John Brennan was voting for a communist. But it's not just what Brennan said, okay? Remember all the nasty stuff that Brennan said about Trump. But listen to the way it was reported. Here's Anderson Cooper reporting, this is cut eight, Anderson Cooper reporting on what was possibly the worst thing Brennan said. And listen to what Cooper says and how he deals with this tweet.
The president calls the reporters the enemy of the American people. As an American citizen, I just personally think today is just an incredibly depressing moment in our time, in our history as an American. Former CIA Director John Brennan just tweeted, and I quote, Donald Trump's press conference performance in Helsinki rises to and exceeds the threshold of high crimes and misdemeanors. It was nothing short of treasonous. Not only were Trump's comments imbecilic, he is wholly in the pocket of Putin. Republican patriots, where are you? And that is a very good question.
That is a very good question. And he begins by pounding on Trump for calling him the enemy of the people. How is Anderson Cooper not the enemy of the people, not the enemy of the truth, for allowing John Brennan to say this stuff about the Helsinki meeting? And by the way, he's still on TV, Brennan, and he kind of, you know, gets a little bit of a blush going here with Joe Scarborough, who's still defending the press. Joe Scarborough is still saying the press did the right thing. But listen to Brennan. This is like a non-apology apology.
How surprised were you by the findings yesterday, by the conclusions that were drawn? And I'm just curious, did you receive bad information throughout this process, like so many of us did, that there was more there than ended up in the report regarding collusion?
Well, I don't know if I received bad information, but I think I suspected that there was more than there actually was. And I am relieved that it's been determined that there was not a criminal conspiracy with the Russian government over our election. I think that is good news for the country. And so I still point to things that were done publicly or efforts to try to have conversations with the Russians that were inappropriate. But I'm not all that surprised that the high bar of criminal conspiracy was not met. I am surprised at that second part of obstruction of justice in terms of how it came out.
No collusion, no collusion, no collusion.
Maxine Waters, she's just obsessed. She's so angry about the way Donald Trump has been treated. But think of that. He accused the president of the United States of treason. He's the former head of the CIA, so he has authority. He's the guy who brought this stupid Steele dossier, who brought it down to the FBI. Think of the way all these guys behave. Think about James Comey, Mr. Higher Loyalty, wandering among the redwoods, you know, with all his questions about the universe. Think about this guy. Here's a guy who, when he got fired by the president, as he should have been, and as Trump had every right to do, he leaked information, he leaked his memos, at least one of which mathematically had to have been classified, because I think there were seven memos, four of them were classified. He leaked four of them, so mathematically at least one of them had to be classified. Leaked it to a pal of his, whom he constantly referred to as his friend, a Columbia University law professor. And then when when Congress went after him, he said, no, I'm his lawyer, so I have attorney-client privilege. I mean, this is sleazy behavior. It's sleazy behavior. It's, you know, it doesn't even matter if they're right or wrong. It's sleazy, sleazy behavior. You're a public servant. You serve at the pleasure of the president. You're fired by the president. Go home. And listen, I hit Trump on the way he fires people. I think it's ridiculous to humiliate people the way he does. I think it's an absurd way to treat people. But you are a servant of the people. You're serving at the pleasure of the presidency. You're fired. Go home. And he said, I did it because I hoped a special counsel would be appointed. And one was, because who's still in there? Andrew McCabe, all his buddies, all his colluders are still in the government. They're doing this stuff. So he got what he wanted. $25 to $30 million wasted, 2 years of the presidency in turmoil. That's James Comey's higher loyalty. That's what he's loyal to. And Clapper, who lied under oath when he said that the NSA wasn't spying on us all, you know, and now he's on TV, we're supposed to trust him. It is just, it just to me is amazing that these guys can't see themselves, that they don't look at themselves and say the problem is not Trump. You know, again, you want to go after any president, I'm for it. The president's a powerful man. Keep after him. Keep him honest. Hound him. But after 8 years of sitting by, oh, Obama, what a wonderful, oh, I love him. He's great. You know, that's the problem. That is the problem. And all these guys are servants and appointments of Obama. Michael Avenatti, perfect example, all right? Michael Avenatti was on CNN during the Stormy Daniels kerfuffle. He was on CNN, what, like 100 times, more than 100 times? He was on so often that CNN was serious, taking him seriously as a candidate, possible candidate for president because he was on CNN. Here is Brian Stelter talking to Michael Avenatti about he could be president because you're on we keep you on so much.
I don't know. Like, I agree with you. I don't know if it's a good thing that star power and TV savvy is required for the job, but I think it is. And by the way, I think President Obama also had a lot of TV star power, and that helped him pre-Trump. But Trump is more evidence of this. And looking ahead to 2020, one reason why I'm taking you seriously as a contender is because of your presence on cable news.
In other words, we have you on so much, I'm now taking you seriously as a contender for the United States presidency. Well, Michael Avenatti was arrested yesterday because for attempting to extort more than $20 million from Nike, as well as in a bank fraud in a separate case. He was accused. I mean, this is like gangstery stuff. He and according to The Wall Street Journal, Mark Garagos, the guy, that kind of celebrity guy, represented Colin Kaepernick and Michael Jackson, possibly Jesse Smollett, who just got off. They just closed the case against Jesse Smollett. But I think they should still investigate him for colluding with Russia. But anyway, Avenatti was arrested for going to Nike with evidence that they had done something wrong, that they had, paid a coach, an amateur coach or something like this for sponsorship. And he went to them and he said, you have to pay me at least $10 million to investigate you and clear you. Or what did he say? I'll go take $10 billion off your client's market cap. I'm not effing around. I love these. You know, the thing you got to say about gangsters is they may not be the brightest people in the world, but at least they're gangsters. They're good at being gangsters. These guys who, like Michael Cohen and Michael Avenatti, who pretend to be gangsters are not that good at it. But Avenatti, he was on so much that they actually on The View were asking him about his sexual fantasies. Listen to this.
So, Michael, do you have these fantasies or what?
Well, to be clear, unlike Ted Cruz and Tucker Carlson, I actually believe in sex.
they don't.
He has five kids. He definitely believes in sex. Tucker Carlson has a bunch of children.
But
I don't know what that
but
means.
But all of my sexual fantasies involve handcuffs.
Are you the one putting on the handcuffs, or are you handcuffed?
No, to be clear, I'm always putting on the handcuffs.
I think I would like to put the handcuffs on Donald Trump.
So he almost got his sexual fantasy fulfilled. He did get the handcuffs, but he was not putting them on. I always like to see a guy get what he wants in life. And Michael Avenatti has gotten what he wants. You know, I want to conclude this. I just want to conclude by saying what a terrific day it was yesterday. Not because it's not, you know, I'm not going to celebrate Trump because he's not a felon. That's not the best thing. I'm not a felon. I think that's a positive, but that's not the point. He did some great stuff. I mean, he has now, officially backed Israel's proprietorship of the Golan Heights. Very, very big deal. This is a piece of territory they took after the Six-Day War when they were defending themselves, and they need that piece of territory to defend themselves from Syria. It's about time the United States backed them fully. The Department of Justice has announced that it is siding with a district court ruling that found the Affordable Care Act unconstitutional. So this is an escalation of Trump's attack on this. Cocaine Mitch McConnell is calling. I don't know when this is going on, maybe going on now. He's calling for a vote on the Green New Deal. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is absolutely scandalized. Don't interrupt us while we're virtue signaling to make us actually do anything. You know, it's and then the other day, I think it was last week, Trump put out that executive order defending free speech on campus. Here's the thing. The New York Times isn't defending free speech on campus. The New York Times isn't defending our ally Israel. The New York Times isn't making sure that this absolute anvil around the American economy, Obamacare, and around our freedom, Obamacare, is not destroyed. Trump is doing all those things. Trump, evil Trump, terrible Trump, Trump who they lied for 2 years to try and get, Trump who they've surrounded in this cloud of suspicion. He's the one who's doing all these good things that are, I mean, at least when it comes to free speech, when it comes to Israel, these are inarguably positive things. These are defenses of freedom. Trump is the one defending freedom, not these guys who hate him so much. I think we got to do it. We got to end with the Trump happiness montage.
We're going to win so much. We're going to win at every level.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We're going to win economically. We're going to win with the economy. We're going to win with military. We're going to win with health care and for our veterans. We're going to win with every single facet.
Zip-a-dee-doo-da, zip-a-dee-ay. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day.
We're going to win so much, you may even get tired of winning.
Yeah!
You'll say, please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore.
I feel pretty, oh so pretty. I feel pretty and witty and gay.
We have to keep winning. We have to win more. We're going to win more.
I don't know. I'm not tired of winning. All right, we got a break from YouTube and Facebook. Come over to dailywire.com. Hit the podcast button. Hit the Andrew Klavan podcast. Hit the mailbag and put your questions in there. But you got to be a subscriber, so subscribe first. I will answer all your questions. My answers are guaranteed 100% correct and will change your life sometimes for the better. Come over to dailywire.com. All right. Rabbi Aryeh Spiro is the president of Caucus for America and spokesman for the National Conference of Jewish Affairs, which speaks for the conservative and non-left-leaning segments of American Jewry. I think that's six guys. He is the author of Pushback, Reclaiming Our American Judeo-Christian Ethos. Rabbi, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you today.
I'm looking at our Congress and I'm looking at some of the things that are being said in Congress and that are not being punished and are basically, it seems that they're being said more. Is there a rise in anti-Semitism in our Congress?
Within the Democrat Party, there certainly is a rise. There are certain caucuses, and in particular, I have no joy in mentioning this at all, but the Black Caucus, the Progressive Socialist Caucus, Ocasio-Cortez and her trio, her quartet of ladies, and certainly the newly arrived Muslim Congress people, together with CARE. There's no question that there's anti-Semitism there. It's beyond just simply being against Israel. Many of the statements that they have made are questioning the loyalty of American Jews to our wonderful country simply because we support Israel. And it's being countenanced, it's being allowed by the speaker because she needs these people to win, win against Trump, to win elections. And it's something terrible that's unfolding right in front of our eyes.
Why is this happening? What is it about? Is it connected to the Democrat Party's drift to the left? Are those two things related, the leftism and the anti-Semitism, or do you think it's something else?
No. It's absolutely connected. Leftists do not like Israel, just like they do not like historic America as America has been constituted. Leftism is a belief in universalism, this banal, we're all the same. So leftism is against anything that stands out with a type of distinction. The Jewish state is distinct. It has a very distinct culture and history. And the same thing with the United States. We have a very distinct culture, different than Europe. It's based on a Judeo-Christian ethos, founding principles, a constitution, and it's very distinct, and that's why the left hates America. So those that are on the left and they hate America, they generally will also hate Israel. It goes hand in hand. So it's all part of leftism, and it's historic that leftism also was very critical. They disliked the Jewish people per se, because, again, Jewish is a distinct thing, and that which is distinct does not fall into this banal universalism, classlessness, that we're all the same. Although you know that in leftism, it's not always all the same for the leaders. like an animal farm. They all have a special privileged position there.
Well,
and I think you have to also talk about there are certain jealousies. The Jewish people, thank God, through very hard work and savings and ingenuity, they've succeeded where some other groups have not. Generally, those groups that have been very successful, they don't have problems per se with the Jewish success. But those that have not been successful, they do have problems with the success that the Jewish people have shown.
So they look at the state of Israel, and women are treated well. They're treated at least as equals. The Muslims who are actual citizens of the state of Israel can rise to positions in government and do rise in terms of social position, winning beauty contests on TV. And you look at the Arab countries that just surround this vast area. I mean, it's just the Middle East is a huge area where women are oppressed and repressed, where other religions are, you know, basically chased out, where Christians are under the gun. Does it not occur? Why doesn't it occur to the left that this is a free country where people are treated well, where they're supporting countries that all their principles are being all the leftist principles are being violated?
Oh, because they're not seeking truth. They have an agenda. Look how they look at the United States. The United States is such an open country. All of the freedoms, all of the tolerance, and the left hates America too. And yet the left is okay with many communist countries, Islamic countries, yet they hate the United States. There shouldn't be any question in their mind, but they're not looking for truth. You see, it's the same thing with, for example, the feminists. You have the feminists who are absolutely silent in the face of terrible abuses against women around the world happening in Islamic countries, the female vaginal mutilations, the honor killings. Where are the feminists? And I've said this for a long time. Among the feminists, many of them, not all, but many, it's no longer about female rights or things of that nature. It's about being against those things that are American or Christian or white. And it's the same thing with on the left. It's many. They now are not looking towards what is just and what is right, because then they would see the difference between Islam and the Muslim countries or the United States and other countries. It's all based on a negativity, a hate. They hate white. They hate Christian. They hate American. They hate Southern. That's what it's all about.
Well, you know, I hate to ask this question because I'm sure you've been asked it 100 times, but I have to. I mean, what is it with the Jews that they keep voting for the people who hate them? Why are American? I mean, I don't know what the numbers are, but it's got to be very high percentage of American Jews who support the Democratic Party. When do they wake up?
It's between 65% and 70%. So Okay. Let me give you the answer that I used to give, because this is the most frequently asked question that I get. I get
sure.
Members of Congress ask me this, radio people, TV people. So the first answer is that they see their salvation, their ability to survive, the leadership of the Jewish community. They see it with aligning with other minority groups. Many were raised that the majority, the white majority, because of their experience in Europe, the white majority is the danger. And if they just align politically and socially with the minority groups, that will be their buffer against the terrible majority, which is wrong, because in the United States, it happens to be that the majority white population is very inclined towards the Jewish people, but because of their biblical background among most of the Christian element here in the United States, and because the United States is a fair country. But I think that was something that was the reason years ago. Now it's something else. Listen, they have been so captured by the left. Many of these Jewish people are not religious. They're not observant. Yet we all need something transcendent. So liberalism, leftism, has become their religion. And so they actually believe in all of this stuff. You've got a Jewishly ignorant American Jewish community that believes in intersectionality and radical multiculturalism and radical egalitarianism. And that's how they're raised. So they might be born physically as Jews, but they are born into leftism, into liberalism, into radicalism. That's how they view the world. And I want to say one more thing, and this is what people don't realize, and it's something that's very hard for me to accept. We no longer have an American Jewish community that sees its identity at least large segments, that see its identity as preserving Jewishness or supporting Israel. Their identity is tied to intersectionality and to liberalism. So, sure, they see that Democrats are doing things that are bad for Israel, but many of them, 40-50% of them, don't care.
You know, one of the things, of course, that's happening is the idea that Islamic people are oppressed, or that there's something like Islamophobia. Is the animosity between Islam and Judaism, is that intractable? Is that built into the system? Is there any way past that? Or is that just something we're going to be living with forever?
Listen, there are exceptions, but generally, I think it's built into the system. Mm-hmm. Those that are raised on the Quran, listen, the Quran is filled with very anti-Jewish verses. There's no question. And there's a history of, and you know, most Jews in America are from what's called Ashkenazic background, so they only know of the atrocities against Jews from Europe, which at that time was the Christian world. But I was a rabbi of the Iranian Jewish Center, and these were Jews that came from Muslim countries, and they tell me of the history of the anti-Jewishness coming from the Muslim countries. As a matter of fact, almost 900,000 Jews were expelled, just kicked out. They couldn't take their money, their property from Arab states in northern Africa and other parts of the Middle East from 1948 to 1956. It's very endemic. People have to understand that the reason most in the Muslim world don't like Israel is because before that, a priori, before that, they were anti-Jewish. And it's a sad thing. The Christian world at least went through a reformation, and in America, especially among the evangelical community, they're so kindly disposed to the Jewish people. They really are our friends, our partners. But we have not had that reformation in the Muslim world. What we have today in America is Linda Sarsour and Rashida Tlaib and Omar up in Minnesota, Keith Ellison. So it is a problem. There'll be exceptions, but it's a problem.
Looking forward, are you optimistic? I mean, I know things have gotten very bad in France for French Jews. Are you worried that something like that could happen here? Or do you think America will do what it usually does, which is throw these bums out?
Well, listen, Europe is finished. The Jews really, they have to make plans to leave. As far as the United States, I still have faith in the great kindness of the American people. They've historically been predisposed to Jewish people. And if just a few members of the Democrat Party would finally get rid of this rot that's starting to grow, I still have a lot of faith in America because I have faith in the American people.
Yeah, I agree with you. Rabbi Aryeh Spiro, president of Caucus for America and spokesman for the National Conference of Jewish Affairs. Thanks so much for coming on. I hope you'll come back. I'd like to talk to you some more.
Hey, absolutely. This was great.
Thanks very much. All right. A final reflection. You know, I talk a lot. I've been talking a lot about comedy, especially late night comedy, because I just think it's so obvious. It's so obvious that the comics are all on one side. And so strange in a way that nobody thinks, hey, maybe 64 million people who voted for Trump would also like to be entertained. And we were playing that stuff of the Saturday Night Live celebrating Mueller, All I Want for Christmas Is You. I mean, it's kind of nonsense. But, you know, it really does strike me that when Jay Leno recently was talking about attacking both sides, you know, Clinton was horny and Bush was dumb, you know, using kind of the stereotypes that are out there and using them for jokes. When a comedian laughs at both sides, then you're willing to laugh at both sides. If I know Jay Leno is going to come out and make fun of Bill Clinton or whoever is on the left at that moment, then when he makes fun of my guys, I'm going to laugh, you know, because they're all kind of funny. We know there's corruption everywhere, and we know politicians are inherently funny. So that means that I start to see a little bit of the ridiculousness of my position, which helps me be a little bit more friendly to the other guy, right? But if I know that comedian is like a Stephen Colbert who's going to come out day after day, no matter what happens, and hammer Trump, and not just hammer Trump, but not even make jokes about Trump, just hector me about how much brighter he is than I am, that he knows the fact that I voted for Trump means I'm not even smart enough to watch his show because he's never going to say anything that basically affirms me in my decision. So he's just making fun of me the whole time. Then why would I be willing to laugh at myself. I mean, if I'm only going to be laughed at, why would my mind open up? Stephen Colbert, all those guys, they have the power to bring us together. They have the power to make us laugh together. If you laugh at both sides, if you make fun of everybody kind of equally, then we're all willing to join in. We're not none of us so in love with our politicians that we're not willing to make fun of them. But if you're only on one side, if you're always on one side, how do we trust you? Why should we laugh at the other side? We lose our sense of humor about ourselves, and therefore we're only willing to be what you are, which is laughing at the opposition. The same is true of the news. This is what I feel is so sinful about these guys. It's not just the lies, because if they made mistakes like this on both sides, if any of their mistakes made Obama look bad, if they ever had to retract an anti-Obama story, then when they came after Trump the same way, I would say, well, the press is kind of out of control, but at least they treat everybody the same way. And now all it is even if they tell the truth, why should I believe them? Why aren't they the boys who cried wolf? And this is the thing about these guys, you know? They think they're doing good, but they're inherently doing wrong. By being unfair, it's inherently the wrong thing to do because it drives us apart and it makes them untrustworthy and it makes us unwilling because I want to see the corruption on our side too. I know all politicians are prone to corruption and prone to power hunger. I want to see that. I want to be told about it, but I don't want to see it only for my guys when suddenly Obama comes in and everything is perfect and everything is all right. They are doing a tremendous disservice. Guys like Brian Stelter, CNN, NBC, The New York Times, Washington Post, they are doing a tremendous disservice, and so is Stephen Colbert, and so are all Samantha Bee, all of them. It's a tremendous disservice to their country. They are doing inherently the wrong thing. If they were fair, we would be there would be more friendship between the sides. But if you're just going to take one side, you drive us apart. All right, tomorrow, the mailbag. Get your questions in now. I will answer them all. And as you know, my answers are guaranteed 100% correct and will change your life. Some of you for the better. Some of you are doomed. I'm Andrew Klavan. This is The Andrew Klavan Show. Oh, hooray, hurrah. The Andrew Klavan Show is produced by Robert Sterling. Executive producer, Jeremy Boring. Senior producer, Jonathan Hay. Our supervising producer is Mathis Glover. And our technical producer is Austin Stevens. Edited by Adam Sayovitz. Audio is mixed by Mike Cormina. Hair and makeup is by Jesua Alvera. And our animations are by Cynthia Angulo. Production assistant, Nick Sheehan. The Andrew Klavan Show is a Daily Wire production. Copyright Daily Wire 2019.
Hey guys, over on the Matt Walsh Show today, we're going to talk about this outrageous development in the Jussie Smollett case. The development is that the case is over. They've dropped the charges. They're letting him go. It is a total miscarriage of justice. So we've got to discuss it, get into all the particulars. Also, the president of CNN made a really incredible admission, a confession, I would even say. So we're going to talk about that. And finally, I've got a short video clip of Pope Francis that I want to play for you that you got to see to believe. Over on the Matt Walsh Show today.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.